Could Greece become the next Dubai? Earlier this month, it was announced that its public debt would balloon to nearly 13% of its GDP. On today's first underreported segment, Stacey Marie Ishmael of the Financial Times explains why Greece's debt has spiraled and what its government is trying to do about it. I'm very pleased to welcome Ms. Ishmael to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Actually, Greece's debt position is a lot worse than that. I mean, some of the stats that I'm looking at shows that its public debt is nearly is more than 130% of its GDP. So it's way bigger than 13%, and that's actually the heart of the problem.
Well, how do we go from the estimate that I've been reading, 12.7%, to, how, what did you say, three times?
Okay, well,
that's a big leap, isn't it?
The current statistic from Standard & Poor's, which is a rating agency, is that in 2010, the government's debt burden is going to rise to 126% of GDP. So the way to think about that is, if Greece only had the amount of money, you know, in its GDP, it would take them more than 100 years to repay all of their debts.
Wow. What is the prognosis for 2010?
Well, the rating agencies have a big problem with the fiscal path that Greece is on right now. What happened this week is that, over the past couple of days, two of the bigger rating agencies, so Standard & Poor's and Fitch, have both cut Greece's sovereign rating. Now, effectively, what that means is they're saying, this is a country that we think it's quite risky to lend money to. So Greece is now in a situation where other countries and, you know, people in the international capital markets might not want to lend it any more money in future because they're worried about its ability to repay.
It's been downgraded to a BBB+ rating, the only Eurozone member with a rating below A.
How
damaging would that downgrade be?
Well, on a psychological perspective, that's already quite damaging. You know, you mentioned the parallel here with Dubai, and the reality is that sophisticated investors are quite worried about countries' balance sheets. Effectively, you know, people say, oh, I don't want to invest in that company because they have too much debt. People are now taking that approach to countries. You know, Dubai really put that theme into the air, and Greece is helping that play out much more. On a more immediate level, what people are worried about with Greece is that if its rating falls any more to, say, BBB- or lower, that's going to create some problems within the structure of the European Central Bank.
And it's also spread a lot further. The markets in Brazil opened weaker today because of concerns about the Greek credit ratings.
That's correct. I mean, it's that psychological contagion. Essentially, people are now, you could think of it this way, you know, at the end of 2006, early 2007, everybody was worried about subprime. Then in 2008, everybody was worried about the banks. You know, 2009, 2010 is looking like the year everybody started worrying about whole countries.
Is this debt crisis similar to Dubai's?
Yes, in the amount of debt that Greece has outstanding. You know, so you could say that the parallels between Greece and Dubai are that they're both extremely leveraged countries in the sense that they've both borrowed a lot relative to their actual capacity to pay. But, you know, some of the causes are different. So Dubai, for instance, one of the reasons Dubai is so indebted is because it insists on doing things like building islands and ski resorts in the desert, both of which are projects that cost a lot of money. You know, one of Greece's problems is that on an income basis, it just doesn't generate that much. It's not a very competitive country. You know, it doesn't have a significant export potential. It has an underdeveloped service industry.
So has Greece been hit particularly hard by the global economic slowdown, or is this connected to uniquely Greek problems, as you just suggested?
Well, some of it is, you know, it's uniquely European. People might not believe this, but Europe has been hit very, very hard by the global recession, in some countries even harder than in the U.S. You know, if you look at Ireland, for example, they have huge problems with their banks in Ireland. And, of course, everybody knows the example of Iceland, which had even bigger problems with their banks. So, yes, Greece has definitely been hit by the global recession. But what a lot of commentators are pointing out is that the way the country has been run fiscally just hasn't been very efficient, and that politicians really need to get around to making some tough decisions about spending.
Well, the new government was just voted into office October 4th, so they've inherited these financial problems. Did the Social Democrats have major differences over the economy with the outgoing government of the New Democrats?
I mean, from what I'm looking from the point of view of that political angle, cosmetically, there are some differences in the language and, you know, some of the policies that they've pledged. But, and, you know, that this new government did say, look, we're going to be tougher on spending, we're going to make some cuts. But the rating agencies and some of the international banks have said, yes, but you're not being tough enough. And they've so far simply reiterated that they're going to do what they've said they were going to do. They're not going to make any more cuts in response to the current uncertainty about its economy.
Well, soon after they took office, the Social Democratic government announced that the economy had been in recession for all of 2009. I would assume that would make investors wary.
It would, but I mean, you have to marvel at people's ability to not be worried about things until they should actually have been worried about it for a long time. And, you know, in a sense, some people are saying that that's what you're seeing now with sovereign risk, in that every country or lots of countries in the world were spending lots of money to bail out their banking systems or, you know, to provide some form of economic stimulus, whether it was tax cuts or big spending on things like roads and infrastructure. And the capacity of countries to keep on spending like that on projects like that is not infinite. But because it was seen as the right thing to do at the time, nobody was asking the question of, well, what happens after all of this spending has happened, and you then have to, you know, get that money back from somewhere.
Well, if the country was in recession for all of 2009, were people noticing that the Greek economy was having trouble?
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, you know, there are quite a few people out there going, well, we told you so. But it's just that Greece is one of those countries that was kind of flying under the radar, because you have to consider that, you know, the U.S. was dominating all of the headlines. And then you had the U.K., you had the crisis in Iceland, you had a banking crisis in Ireland, you had various types of banking crises in Germany, you know, a double-digit unemployment rate in Spain. You know, Greece kind of got away with not really having obvious problems on a scale that some of its European peers were.
My guest is Stacey Marie Ishmael of the Financial Times. We're talking about Greece's major debt problem as the first segment of today's Unreported series. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Is there a certain irony that a social democratic government is being forced to cut services as one of its first acts in office?
Well, I mean, you could argue that, but the fact is it's not going down well with the Greek people. Not just today, actually, there have been protests. You know, unions have protested, students have protested, and, you know, after the state said, well, you know, we're just going to have to keep on cutting, that's simply not going down well with a populace that, you know, voted Social Democrats into office just for the reason of having, expanded welfare and expanded social services.
Greece also has an aging population, which I'm sure is a drain on some of its resources.
Yes, I mean, and that's true of quite a few countries right now. I mean, like, it's, you know, people tend to think of, when they think of aging populations, they think of Japan, but this is not unique to Japan. You have Greece, you have Italy, even in the UK, there's kind of a looming pension crisis. Just the fact that currently you have a relatively large younger population, but a lot of those people are unemployed. You know, so they're not working to fill the pension pots of the people that are retiring.
When they were voting in the election, did the electorate realize the economy was in trouble?
That's an interesting question. I'm not sure that at the time the economy was as big an issue as it has become in the most recent weeks. I mean, there is a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy here, in that as soon as you start pointing out that a country and a company, either of those are having fiscal problems, the problems tend to get worse. You know, if somebody says, well, we're worried about the ability of Greece to repay its debts, other lenders might say, well, actually, now if other people are worried, we're just not going to lend them any money, you know, which sort of makes their situation even worse than it was before.
Is it clear yet what role Greece's banks have played in the economic crisis?
As far as I've seen, there hasn't been a suggestion that, you know, say, like the banks in the US and the UK, they were sort of profligate lenders and they didn't do good underwriting on mortgages and they just, you know, sort of lent money to anybody who asked without asking for things like income verification. But one of the problems that the Greek banks does have, which is quite interesting, is that they're very exposed to government debt. And what that means is that the Greek banks, some of the top five in particular, bought quite a lot of Greek government debt. And they would use this debt as, if they were borrowing money from the European Central Bank, they would use that Greek government debt as collateral. So they would pledge that to the European Central Bank. They would borrow money, you know, so the central bank would say, that's fine, we'll accept your Greek debt. If Greece gets downgraded, again. The European Central Bank may no longer accept those banks lending, you know, pledging that Greek government debt as collateral. And what that means for the banks is they may face a funding crisis because, you know, the ECB collateral is a major source of funding for these banks.
Well, has ECB monetary policy played a role in Greece's current problems? Because is it the ECB, aren't those policies kind of one size fits all? They might work a lot better for France and Germany than they would for Greece or Ireland.
But that is the theory. You know, the way that the ECB works on paper is that everybody gets treated the same way. In practice, and especially since the onset of the crisis, the ECB and some of the bigger players have sort of bent over backwards to say, all right, we'll bend the rules for you to make sure that, you know, you can sort out your internal situation. So they've relaxed things like what percentage of debt you're allowed to have relative to your GDP. They've, and actually, even as regard what they will accept as collateral, they've significantly reduced their what they will accept. So you can now go to the ECB with, say, you know, triple B minus rated debt, and they will accept that as collateral, which is something that they would not have done in 2006. So they have actually really tried to accommodate some of the weaker members.
Because one of the conditions for Euro countries is that debt cannot exceed 3% of the GDP. And Greece is not the only one of the EU countries that have struggled to meet that at times.
No, it's not. I mean, the interesting thing is that a lot of policy is based around what can Germany do, and Germany's definitely shown itself to be one of the stronger countries. But of course, Germany has also said that next year they're going to be issuing an unprecedented amount of debt compared to what they have historically, simply because they know that if they do have to bail out one of the weaker members of Europe, they're going to need the cash to do it.
Well, what have the problems in Greece and Spain and Italy had? What effect have they had on the value of the euro?
Currencies. You've seen lots of fluctuation in the euro, and it depends on what you're comparing it to. So, for example, if you compare the euro to the sterling, you'd see some quite interesting moves there. You know, and sometimes the sterling has been much, much weaker versus the euro because people have thought, well, we think the problems in the UK are much more pronounced than the problems in Europe, and sometimes sentiments will shift the other way. And then again, you know, you've had, because the U.S. has had its own sets of problems, the euro has actually appreciated against the dollar in some instances. But, you know, in recent days, it's depreciated against the dollar. Because I think there's so much uncertainty about so many countries that playing the currency market has actually become even more complicated than it has been. And it's one of the more complicated markets to speculate in.
One of the proposals that the incoming Prime Minister George Papandreou has made is to impose a 90% tax on private bankers' bonuses.
Yes.
That's something that some people in this country might welcome.
Well, I mean, the UK sort of led the way in that, you know, they said in their most recent pre-budget report that they would impose a 50% tax on bankers' bonuses, at which point France promptly said, hi, we think that's a really good idea. We're going to do that as well. You know, and Greece seemed to have jumped on the bandwagon. In a way, it's a kind of a really obvious way for these countries to try to raise money superficially. In practice, it won't actually raise them that much.
In this country, we have given a lot of money or lent a lot of money to banks to shore them up. Has the same sort of thing happened in Greece?
There hasn't been. The U.S. has lent a lot of money to its banking system. Proportionately, there hasn't been that significant of government intervention into the private banking sector.
Now, is this something that the EU is going to have to take into consideration in the future? It came up with all sorts of rules that everybody had to live by, and it's obvious that they're not able to live by it.
Yes. You know, they've sort of backed themselves into a corner because, well, you know, the European Union leaders are on record saying nobody's going to get bailed out. But in recent weeks, you've seen, you know, Chancellor Angela Merkel of Germany, as well as, you know, the French Mr. Sarkozy have said, well, they haven't said, they've hinted that they may be willing to support Greece if it were to come to that.
Mm. Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us. Just one other thing. Greece is a major tourist destination. Will this have any effect?
So far, you've not seen any cuts announced that would sort of directly hurt hotels, the service sector, the overall tourism industry, and of course this has no effect on glorious Greek weather and Greek beaches. The fear is that, you know, if these cuts do become more severe and if internal unemployment keeps going up, the mood in the country, if there's increased civil unrest, that might act as a deterrent to tourism.
Stacey Marie Ishmael writes for the Financial Times. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me.